Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is your host, Jerry Williams, and happy, happy, happy Monday to each and every one of you. It's been kind of an interesting day for me. I got to be honest with you. I think it's getting closer and closer to Christmas, obviously. I've been going through a lot of stuff myself. I've had some issues going on in my house, and a lot of things have been happening. And truly, I believe that it started maybe about a few days ago when, my family told me my dad had a heart attack. And, it was really bad. I think it's crazy that we need to figure out, what is happening with everything. And, everybody's going through something, obviously. So my issue is that I had an issue where my father had a heart attack, a massive heart attack. And, that was kind of rough for me because, he's my dad and, he's 86 years old. Excuse me. He's an old feller. But the man is he's very healthy. He is a very healthy person. As a matter of fact, he has lost a lot of weight. He physically stays in shape, does 18-hole golf every day. Doesn't matter if it's snowing or raining, you name it, that man is out there doing something. But this is the kind of stuff that that he does. But he had a heart attack. Maybe it was a few days ago that we found this out. And the only downside to it, or the only sad part of it, is they found out that he had 70% of his heart blocked. It's hard. It really is. You think about your father. You think about your family. Something happening to him right around this time of the Christmas. It's all just rough. I am a rideshare driver. I do Uber and Lyft and stuff like that. And long and behold, I was driving, working yesterday, like I always do, trying to, and this is my main income is Uber. And, I had an issue where my, car started overheating, and then all of a sudden the engine blew up, so it really sucked, And so I found out today that, the engine's going to run around $2,400, which is pretty reasonable for an engine that has 120,000 miles, by the way. But it does. It sucks. The whole thing sucks as far as I can say it, and it's just part of what happens in life. You go through this kind of stuff, and, I am a very much Christian, so I believe God will take care of me. Anybody who doesn't believe that, then, that's your prerogative. But I truly believe that God will take care of me and take care of my family, and we'll be okay. And so I put all my faith and trust in him. And like I always said before, you know, I put my faith and trust in him and keep right on it, keep safe with that, believing I have faith in God that he'll take care of my family and myself. You know, but it's something that, you know, I truly believe that, you know, we need this. We need to have a lot more faith in this world, right? That's what's important. More faith is better for all of us. You know, if you have a better faith in God and believing, I think that everybody that believes that would actually feel better in life. And that's what you got to do. That's what you got to understand. But, you know, I'm not trying to get all Christian-y on you because, you know, I mean, I just don't want to, you know, think that I'm trying to preach to you because I'm not going to preach and I'm not here to preach to anybody. But, you know, that's something it is. I mean, we might disagree with being Republicans and Democrats and politics and so forth. But the one thing that we probably can agree on in one accord is that we believe that God is here to help us and take care of us. And that's what's the truth. All right, so just to let everybody know, there is a show change here. Our show is going to be switching over to a new show. It's going to be called Real Liberal Politics. And that's the name of the show, Real Liberal Politics. And our first show will probably be either tomorrow or the next night, but the original show, or I should say the grand opening of the show, will be on Sunday. Probably around 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so you make sure you join us because it's going to get fun. I can't wait for it. I really can't. Okay, so with that said and everything that's been happening, I just want to go ahead and get into the show. So today on the show, we're going to be talking about Brittany Griner. As everybody knows, Brittany Griner was released from Russia and sent back to the United States. And the United States actually traded, you know, some of the prisoners that we had that were Russian back to Russia in trade for Brittany Griner. Now, a lot of people are up in arms over this. A lot of it's people believing that, you know, we got the raw end of the deal, that, you know, we could have done more, we should have done more, we should have done this, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that anytime you're getting an American home from Russia, to me, that's important. You know, taking them out of a Russian prison, I mean, that's important. I don't care what you say. I don't care what your politics are. That's important about America. And that is truly important. But so we need to really think about that. We really need to think that we need to be happy that somebody who is an American got released from Russia, regardless of how you think of it. So we'll discuss, you know, this is what we're going to discuss today. We're also going to discuss some of the Republican craziness. There's been a lot of crazy shit happening with the Republican Party, and I got to be honest with you, it's really scary. Some of these things that I've been talking about, some of it's kind of like asinine shit, where the Republicans are trying to, you know, do these crazy tactics of misinformation, you know, and whether it's COVID-19 misinformation, whether it's, you know, the election was stolen from Donald Trump, you know, bullshit. The one thing that we can boil down to is that the Republican Party is really having a lot of issues because they believe in a lot of false information. And they do. They believe in a lot of conspiracy theories. And that's what's really a problem here. So we will discuss this today on the show because I think that, you know, that's important for all of us, that we need to be ready for this kind of information or situation. Also, let me be clear that we're going to also talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, good old Marjorie Taylor Greene, has went out there and started discussing butt plugs, right? She was actually And, you know, she was at this dinner event, which, by the way, was with a neo-Nazi, Nick Fuentes, which he is a neo-Nazi. He's a white supremacist. White supremacists, white nationalists are what they are. They're part of the elite of Nazis, and that's what they are. That's what a white nationalist does. And so she was attending this white nationalist event. And while she was attending it, of course, she came out and she started speaking about some really off-the-wall shit anyway. And this is what Marjorie Taylor Greene does, right? Because we know that when Marjorie Taylor Greene starts talking about, you know, hopes and dreams and ice creams and conspiracy theories, you know, we're in the right ballpark when it comes with Marjorie Taylor Greene. But anyway, this dumb woman, I got to be honest with you, man. This is why I call her stupid. She was out there claiming to people, she was telling people that you could buy butt plugs. Yeah, butt plugs. I'm talking about ass plugs, up your ass plugs, from Target, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, you name it, you can buy it there. And she was talking about these butt plugs, and she was so excited about talking about these butt plugs, which makes me think, does she really like butt plugs? Because I'm thinking maybe she does like a butt plug. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if she wanted to have a butt plug up her own rear end. I mean, for God's sakes, Marjorie Taylor Greene is into anal, obviously. She likes the butt plugs. But she was really going out there and talking about this butt plug shit. And I started thinking to myself, what the fuck is she talking about? Why would she be talking about butt plugs? And then, you know, not only that, it was getting kind of goofy for Marjorie Taylor Greene, but she got into the butt plug thing. And then while she was talking about getting butt plugs from Walmart, Walgreens, Target, and you name it, everywhere else, then she went into the next subject, which was she started talking about January 6th. And what she wanted to do is put out the hype that if her and Steve Bannon was to take charge of January 6th, that they would have actually won, which I got to tell you, man, you know, I the thing is that for her to say that she really believes in, you know, this whole thing about this whole situation and everything, that if her and Steve Bannon would have had control or had charge of it, that they would have won. I mean, come on, people. Come on. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, seriously, you have to think, is that really even smart to even say that? But she did go on to say that she thought that it was really kind of concerning, you know, that the whole issue with everything that's been going on, that, you know, she needed to be concerned about, you know, January 6th. And she actually admitted that she was a partaker in January 6th. So she did actually admit to this this whole situation. So we know that not only that she wanted to talk about butt plugs, but she wanted to talk about January 6th, and then she got kind of into that situation. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, God bless you for wanting a butt plug. You know, if you like butt plugs, get them now. Which actually leads me to think there has to be a commercial that's for Marjorie Taylor Greene because it's important, right? So we came up with this. This Christmas, when you need something for your ass, let your mate enjoy the best with
Marjorie Taylor Greene in butt plugs. Buy your butt plug at Walgreens, Walmart, Target, and CVS. Get a butt plug today and tell them that Marjorie Taylor Greene sent you, and get another special offer of another butt plug. That's right, two for $10.99. Marjorie Taylor Greene's butt plugs on sale now at your local Target. And they make a great ho-ho-ho-ho Christmas gift. There you go. Marjorie Taylor Greene butt plugs on sale for you and for your spouse. Oh, my God. Anyway, that's Marjorie Taylor Greene. That woman is, you know, she's fucked up. I don't care what anybody says. That woman is really mentally messed up, man. And how they had her become, you know, some kind of a politician, I don't know, man. I have no clue on how this shit kind of goes down. But anyway, there you have it, right? All right, so we're going to get into breaking news, everybody. Let's get into the breaking news. All right, and breaking news, here's what's happening. Okay, so reported live from CNN Live, and this is where we're going to use the CNN for the news for right now. We also use outskirts from New York Times, Fox News Network, and we also use MSNBC. So let's go ahead and go with CNN today. So what you need to know about the nuclear fusion breakthrough: for the first time ever in U.S. science, U.S. history, scientists produce a fusion reaction resulting in a net energy gain. Here's how that eventually affects your life and our environment. So U.S. scientists reached long-awaited nuclear fusion, breakthrough source says, and artificial sun briefly blazed under the English countryside one day. It could change everything, including environmental. And what we need to realize is this will actually help with farmers and crops and also solar energy. And in an opinion from one state senator, check this out. So here we go. So Marjorie Taylor Greene tells the crowd if she had organized January 6th, we would have won, she said. And now that she has said that, what should a political party do when one of their elected members to Congress is making comments that really sound awfully traitorous? That's the question. The Republican Party should be grappling with the right now after that aftermath of Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia saying this weekend that if she had organized the January 6, 2021 riots, the insurrectionists would have won, she said. I got to tell you something, if Steve Bannon and I had organized that, we would have won. She reportedly told the New York Young Republic Club, not to mention it, would have been armed. It's hard to overstate how offensive and scary this is. In a CNN statement on Monday, the statement to CNN on Monday, Green said she was being sarcastic and that she has done previously denied any involvement in the January 6th riot. My comments were making fun of Joe Biden and the Democrats who have continuously made me a political target since January 6th. Her statement is non-cynical to the point that one of the wonders of Green knowing that the word sarcastic means her comments were not making fun of Biden or the Democrats,
they were making a mockery of the country. The January 6th insurrection was an attempt to violently overthrow the government and overturn the results of the free and fair American election. Close to 1,000 of the participants have since been indicted, and many have been convicted of serious crimes. 4 people died that day, and 5 officers died in the days and weeks that followed. While more than 100 law enforcement officers were injured, members of Congress, Green's colleagues, were wound up running for their lives, hiding from the mobbing criminals who broke into the Capitol and explicitly threatened to take the lives of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and then Vice President Mike Pence. It's time for Green to go. Removing the member of Congress in from office is not a decision that a party should take lightly. She was, after all, duly elected by her constituents. But a requirement of serving in an elected office is defending the Constitution of the United States. In a few weeks, Green will even lay her hand on the Bible and pledge to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear truth, faith, and alliance to the same. How can she truly when she is cheering on domestic enemies? This is not the first time that the United States has been forced to grapple with enemies from within. Telling someone in January 6th rioters flew not just to the U.S. flag, but also the traitorous Confederate banner, the flag of the earlier enemies of the nation, who were thankfully defeated. No right-thinking person should want another bloody war that splits this country apart, by the way. But unfortunately, too many people on the political right just want to have that happen. At the same, the Young Republicans Gala, where Green spoke, the group's president, Gavin Wax, reportedly told the audience, "We want to cross the Rubicon. We want total war. We must be prepared to do battle every arena in the media, in the courthouse, in the courtrooms, at the ballot box, and in the streets," he added. And then he added this. He said, "This is the only language the left understands, the language of pure and unadulterated power. This is truly terrifying. This is really, truly terrifying stuff, by the way. It's one of the things to wage war at a ballot box, but to encourage battle in the streets, the kind of rhetoric that has been coupled with Green's comments is especially troubling, considering that some members of January 6th crowd were indeed armed and dangerous. As devastating as that day was, it could have been far worse." The Republican member of Congress suggests that she not only wanted that insurrection to be more violent, but she believes that insurrectionists should have won, should have overturned an election by force. Demonstrates just how dangerous and deranged some of the members of the GOP have become. It's up to the party now to get its act together. Republicans have long flirted with the right-wing extremism, and former President Donald Trump opened up those floodgates, helping to reshape a portion of the GOP in a party of conspiracy theorists, racists, and into hates and gun nuts and election deniers. Many people realize this in America, and that's why a lot of them have voted against these people. Many members of the party at best held their noses, at the worst embraced these deplorables because the election wins were coming in. But now that they're reaping with what they sowed,
a party that, up to the highest levels, and populated by people who put power over country and who are now straightforwardly saying that they wouldn't just be happy to see American democracy burn, they'd be on the front lines doing it. This is no matter a simple political disagreement, such as debate over appropriation of taxation rates or how best to structure the immigration laws. It's not even a deep divide in values or morals, such as whether abortion should be legal or how balanced the anti-discrimination laws are with religious freedoms. This is the kind of fundamental question that transcends partnership. It's one of the fidelity to the nation itself and to the one radical idea of America as representative of the pluralistic democracy. Green comments are among those most anti-Americans ever uttered by an elected official in my lifetime. There are nothing less than someone happy to foment insurrection and undermine this country's most basic democratic traditions in any effort to install the losing candidate just because she shares his ideology. There are the words of a woman who will, on January 3rd, be lying when she places her hand on the Bible and swears that she is loyal to the Constitution. If the Republican Party has any shred of dignity left and any vanishing claims to patriotism and devotion to the United States, it needs to act and make Green an enemy to the party, an enemy of the state should be. And this is what is going on with the Republican Party. There has been a division of hate and a division of conspiracies, with Republicans wanting to be their, you know, the regular old-time GOP versus the traitorous, the vicious GOP. This is what America has turned into on the Republican Party side. This really explains why a lot of Republicans have left their own party and have now turned over to independency or have left the party altogether. And so that's what we need to really be ready for and understand. A lot of people have been talking about this movie, Died Suddenly. This is another news article here. So, you know, there's been a movie that was put out called Died Suddenly. It's all over the social media platform. A lot of people are realizing that a lot of this is to be, as justified as it is, that it's not a true, real movie. It's actually fake information, misinformation that has been by anti-conspirators or conspirators of antiviral drugs. So this is something that you need to really be on the lookout for and really need to do your homework on, because Died Suddenly is actually all the way dead itself, all fake information. And in other news, former NFL player pleads guilty to drug and weapon charges. He still faces separate charges related to his girlfriend's death. So former NFL player Kevin Ware Jr. agreed to plead to a plea deal on Monday on drug and weapon charges, all while still facing a separate charge in Texas in connection with the death of his girlfriend. And according to the Montgomery County District Attorney's Office, court records indicated that jury selection for the drug and weapon trial was also set to start Monday. The first assistant district attorney, Michael Hawley, confirmed in a statement that the deal had been made for charges of possession with intent to deliver controlled substance and unlawfully possession of a firearm by a felon. Hawley said we're agreed to a 15-sentence deal for each charge, 15-sentence deal for each charge to be served concurrently. So in Harris County, where he is also facing charges, including murder related to the 2021 death of his girlfriend, Taylor Tomaski. His family reported her missing on May 11, 2021, and said she was possibly endangered. According to a Harris County Sheriff's Office news release, an investigation revealed that she was last seen that April following a party at her residence, and that the circumstances surrounding her disappearance appeared suspicious. Tomaski's remains were found in December 2021, and they were positively identified the following April online record show. Court records indicate that she had been stabbed, beaten, and strangled, and her body had been tampered with after her death. If convicted on these charges, Ware could receive an additional sentence of 15 years to life in prison. And according to the NFL's official website, Ware was a tight end for a two-season career in the league. Amazing. Isn't it amazing? Yeah, he's probably got a lot of situations that are getting ready to come around his door here, but a lot of people realize that even if you think that you can get away with murder, it ain't going to happen. But the drug charges alone and all those other things, I mean, you're looking at 15, you know, I mean, he's going to have double life almost. I mean, by the time you add all those, there's no way in hell that he would be able to get out unless, you know, there's some kind of other alternate charge. So this is what's really interesting when you think about the stuff that's out there. By the way, have you ever thought of an idea to spend money and make money? Well, there's all kinds of ways you can learn to earn and make money by just simply picking up and downloading your app to Lyft. Lyft is looking for drivers now. You can become a Lyft driver simply by downloading the app and filling out all the information. You could be driving as little as tomorrow by signing up for Lyft. Check it out now and put in the code 1121 and receive $500 for signing up after 60 rides. Check out Lyft right now by downloading the app and signing up through the app. And T-Mobile is giving away $225 cash to everyone reveals new ultra capacity 5G. By the way, did you hear about this? Check this out. So if you have T-Mobile, by the way, and I do, I have T-Mobile, you know, and I got to be honest with you, T-Mobile is not a bad service. There's some areas where, you know, it has issues, but I got to be honest, I have actually taken Verizon phone service because I have two phones, one's Verizon, one's T-Mobile. And what I do is when I was a driver, is an Uber driver, so when I'm driving around, actually will drive into some of the areas where there's no reception, it's out in the middle of nowhere, where there's a lot of trees, a wooded area. And in Ohio, Kentucky, you have these back roads where it's like back in the middle of nowhere, right? If you ever seen the movie Deliverance or Wrong Turn, yeah, that's what we're talking about here, folks. That kind of weird stuff like that, right? So when you're out in the back of the woods here and you're driving around, you know, you got to kind of be on a lookout. So the one thing you want to make sure of is that your freaking cell phone service works, because you want to make sure you can get the hell out of the area to return back to civilization. So that's the first thing you do, is start looking for a way to get back to civilization. You're sitting there going, well, I got to make sure I get back to civilization, so I got to make sure I have good service. So like I said, I have both phones, one's T-Mobile, one's Verizon. T-Mobile is 5G service. Verizon is the 5G service, so they're both 5G. When I'm driving, I've actually paid attention to this. I've actually recorded it and everything else. I have found
that both phone services actually work pretty much everywhere in the same place. I've also found that there's some areas where Verizon did not work and T-Mobile did. And it was really odd because I'm thinking to myself, why is Verizon not working in this area when it's actually a common area? They should have a damn tower here. It should be working. So I'm thinking to myself, this damn phone should be working, but it's not. So I did find also that in very, very, very slight different areas, T-Mobile service went out as well. But it wasn't as bad as Verizon. And the problem is, I know people want to say, well, Verizon's the best service out there, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I got to be honest with you, with faster speeds of internet, faster speeds of phone service, my T-Mobile actually worked better than the Verizon. Now, everybody out there can probably think, well, you know, I have my service in other places. It works better. Well, and that's fine because it might work for you there in your area. But I'm going to tell you from this customer, from my standpoint, T-Mobile had more service in the areas that I needed it in. As a matter of fact, I would – and here's another thing I found out, that the Verizon phone that I have, it's, by the way, it is a Samsung Galaxy. It is a really good phone, really nice. It works great. But the thing is that the phone is slow, and it really is. I don't know, and I noticed this, a lot of it's to do with the service, I think, because it gets a little slow on me. It starts to lag, has a lot of issues. So what I did is I thought, well, fuck it. I'm going to take out the SIM card, pop it into my T-Mobile phone, see what happens. And so I did that, and believe it or not, but it was still lagging on the other phone. So I know it's the Verizon service that was causing the problem, not the phone. And then I noticed that there's a lot more difference in it. And by the way, the T-Mobile phone that I have is just a cheap T-Mobile phone. It is the Revel 6 is what it's called, the Revel 6 Pro 5G. You know what? This thing works really good. I love this thing. It works awesome. And the phone actually fucking works. It does. It works. It's fast. The phone does not lag on me. It downloads a lot of information. It's got 64 gigabytes of memory, so it works good. But for a phone, it works really nice. So, but I'm going to tell you, as a customer who does a lot of driving in the back, well, basically in the back parts of the country, in the middle of fucking nowhere, the one thing I will tell you is that my T-Mobile had more service than the Verizon did. And I think that people are starting to realize that, yeah, Verizon used to be number one. It used to be the number one fucking carrier because it was all that you could get that had the best service. But I truly believe other carriers have come along and actually put that competition to them. And so T-Mobile has become, in my book, a better service than Verizon. And the problem is you pay a lot more money through Verizon. My fucking Verizon bill is $100 a month for one line for the Verizon. That's to get the best of all best of everything. And then you got my T-Mobile bill. My T-Mobile bill is only $40 a month. That's a big difference. A big fucking difference. Folks, you really need to do research and homework, but I'm telling you, from this guy's perspective, this customer's perspective, if I was to get rid of either one of these phones, I will get rid of the Verizon phone before I get rid of the T-Mobile phone. That's just my personal opinion. And the Revel phone, I know it's got a lot of bad reviews, by the way. The Revel Pro 6 or 6 Pro has a lot of bad reviews. People say it lags, does all this, blah, blah, blah. I have not seen any issues with the Revel. I have not seen one issue with the Revel at all. It works perfectly good. I mean, it does what it needs to do. It's fast and it works good. I have not had any issues with it lagging. I can open up apps. I can download. I mean, I've probably got a shitload of stuff on my phone right now, but good for the money. And the Verizon and the T-Mobile phone was free. I got it free. So it didn't cost me anything, but it's a nice phone. It doesn't have any issues, and it does what you need it to do. So they have it through Metro PCS, or what it's called, Metro by T-Mobile now. Excuse me. That's what I have, is Metro by T-Mobile is what I have. And Metro by T-Mobile is really good. It's like $40 a month. You get a free phone. That's what they're special. They're even waiving the activation. They ain't even going to charge you activation when you sign up online. That's how I did it. But I got the phone. It came in approximately 2 to 3 days. I think like 3 days altogether. But I'm telling you, if you're really looking for a way to do something, that's what I would recommend. Jump on it. Get your Revel 6 Pro. You ain't going to hate it, I promise you. Pay $40. That's all you got to pay up front. Get the phone, and it's a monthly service, like a prepaid plan, and who cares? Which I like prepaid plans in the sense that way I can just pay my bill and not worry about having a bill that racks up, because I know some people where they'll say, I can't pay my cell phone bill, I'm going to let it rack up for a minute, and then all of a sudden their bills get up like way outrageous, up to $100, $200, just everything ups, you know. It gets really high up there. It's kind of, so I'm saying is just, you know, if you're looking for something cheap, something inexpensive but has good quality, try the Revel 6 Pro from Metro by T-Mobile. Go on their website and download it. It works really nice. I know I'm doing a plug here. I should actually get paid for it, right? They should pay me for the Revel 5, 6. I'm really serious. It's truly amazing. It really is. It's truly, truly, truly amazing. So we're going to get into what's happening here in the news. Take a listen to this. So in T-Mobile, the reason why we got off on the track, you're talking about T-Mobile and Verizon and all these other phone services, is because I was getting to the article about T-Mobile. And T-Mobile News has something that they put out, and it says T-Mobile is giving away $225 cash to everyone reveals new ultra-capacity 5G achievement. T-Mobile released a couple of good news today. The first announcement that they made was to let their customers know that they now have more customers. And in the press release, the Uncarrier reveals that the ultra-capacity 5G network now covers 260 million people. This is an achievement that they evade weeks after their year-end schedule. The announcement also reveals that they have deployed a new mid-band ultra-capacity 5G layer. It's 1900 megahertz nationwide. Thanks to their steady growth, the company overall 5G footprint continues to grow. They now cover a total of 323 million people and more square miles compared to the rivals AT&T and Verizon combined. The other good news is that T-Mobile announced that today that they will be giving everyone what it's like to be a T-Mobile customer. This is because their customers get an extra $225 every month apart from their wireless service. As revealed in another press release, T-Mobile will be giving away $225 and $22.50 and $2,500 free money at T-Mobile ATMs in the Mall of America in Minneapolis and in T-Mobile signature stores in Chicago, Santa Monica, and Times Square. If you're interested, you can visit T-Mobile ATM on Friday, December the 16th, at 10 a.m. local time and walk away with money while it lasts. If you're not near an ATM T-Mobile or a T-Mobile ATM, you can visit the website for a chance to win the money, by the way. And so they give you a website where you can actually sign up for this, which is on December 16th. It says begins December 16th at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Only T-Mobile customers get the $225 extra stuff
every month on top of their wireless service on Magenta Max with two lines now. Young Carriers is giving everyone a chance to feel like a T-Mobile customer by giving away $225 and $22.50 and $2,250. No purchase is necessary. I'm just reading everything it's saying here. And so, yeah, it's pretty cool. I guess they're going to be doing this. It's and, again, it's a T-Mobile thing, so I thought it was pretty cool. All right, so in other news, check this out. And so in Fox News reports, a retired Navy SEAL made famous after coming out as a transgender announces the transition destroyed my life. It's in here it says that a retired Navy SEAL who became famous nearly 10 years ago after coming out as a transgender announced he is detransing himself and called on Americans to wake up about how transgender health services are hurting children. Everything you see on CNN with my face, do not even believe a word of it, he says, with Chris Beck, formerly known as Christian Beck. I'm sorry, Kristen Beck, or Kirsten Beck. Yeah. Kirsten? Okay. He told the conservative influence of Robbie Starbuck in an interview published earlier this month, everything that happened to me for the last 10 years destroyed my life. I destroyed my life. I am not a victim. I did this to myself, but I had help. I take full responsibility, he continued. I went on CNN and everything else, and that's why I'm here right now. I'm trying to correct myself. Interesting, huh? Well, I don't know. And in other news, take a listen to this. So ex-Border Patrol agent cries while phone call from him to his wife is heard in court. So he goes on that to display this, and it's kind of interesting that he did. So I was kind of looking at this myself, just trying to see exactly what exactly was on that one was on this thing here. Okay, hang on a second. I'm just doing two things at once here. All right, let me get back to this whole thing that I was talking about. And so one last news article that I'm going to cover right here. This is one last news article. By the way, a lot of these news articles, I like reading them because there's a lot involved in them. And there's a lot of news out here, man. There really is. And I've been finding that there's probably going to be a lot more that's happening before, you know, we know it. That's, you know, that when the news hits, it's always some stupid bullshit, right? It's always something. Feds, two men accused of installing credit card skimmers of a gas in Loveland, Ohio. That's really close to me, by the way. So in CBS News, federal prisons are supposed to provide addiction medication to prisoners are punished for using it. Congress told the Bureau of Prisons to make Suboxone and other medications widely available, but only a small fraction of those who need it get the help that they deserve. Federal prisons have lost phone or visiting privileges or even sent to solitary confinement because they were caught taking addiction medication. These articles were published in partnership with the Marshall Project, a nonprofit news organization. Timothy York knows what work to treat the decade-long opiate addiction, Suboxone, a medication that effectively quiets cravings. Since York arrived in federal prison in 2008,
He has been held in a series of facilities, awash from contraband, drugs, and violence. He spent tens of thousands of dollars buying the medication illicitly from prison dealers because Suboxone enables him to think and communicate clearly, he said. But he hasn't been able to get it consistently. In 2019, he was relieved to learn that the Federal Bureau of Prisons was starting the program to expand access to Suboxone, and the following year, a pharmacist at the federal prison in Somersville, Florida, said it was priority number one for treatment according to the medical records. He is still waiting. In the meantime, he's been punished for using Suboxone without a prescription, and last year, after York 46 was caught with the medication, he spent a month in solidarity confinement and had visitor privileges revoked for a year. According to his disciplinary log, he lost access to phone calls and emails for 4 months. He lost the chance to be released more than a month early because of it. York is not alone. The Marshall Project spoke to more than 20 people struggling with addictions in federal prison, and they described the dire consequences of being unable to safely access a treatment that Congress has introduced and instructed for prisoners to provide. Some have overdosed. Many have gotten involved in dangerous and illicit money-making schemes to pay for the Suboxone, which cost about $20 for a small fraction of a daily dose on the illegal market. Several prisoners said that many, like York, have lost phone or visiting privileges or have been to solitary confinement because they were caught taking the medication. Last year, the Bureau of Prisons disciplined more than 500 people for using Suboxone without a prescription. And according to the data obtained from the agency by the Marshall Project through the public records request, believe me, 100%, I recognize the irony here, said the Bureau administrator familiar with the agency's addiction treatment programs, who spoke on the conditioned, and because they are not authorized to speak to the press, it's mandling. So as they have had a lot of issues, when will this be corrected? Well, they have not discussed this, nor will they know when this will be under control. So there you have it. That's some of the stuff that is very interesting on that. All right, so there you go. There's some of the news that's been hitting and making the stories. One of the other latest news stories that Brittany Griner got to go home, and she has made it to the United States safely and is with her family. Everybody out there knows this. They were really, a lot of people were really pulling through and hoping that Brittany Griner would be able to make it home safely, and she did. As for some conservatives, they are very upset that Brittany Griner got to come home. They are upset over the whole deal. Isn't that crazy? But that's the Republicans for you. They got a lot of hate that comes out of that whole party, don't it? You know what? When they have all that hate that's happening, it makes me realize or wonder how damn dumb these people truly are. But then again, I don't think, and I'm going to say this, I don't think every single Republican is stupid. I don't think that. I don't think that every Republican out there is a racist. I don't think that every Republican out there is a Nazi lover or fascist or any of that. As a matter of fact, I think that some people want to tie that every Republican is just like Donald Trump. But I don't believe that. I truly believe that a lot of most Republicans, almost all of them, are very smart. They're very smart. They're very educated. They know what's going on. They know how to decipher between Donald Trump and reality. They understand it, and I believe in these Republicans. But there is just a little portion of the Republicans who are MAGA crazed fools. These are the people that cannot think for themselves. Thus, they have to follow conspirators like Alex Jones and Fox News Network and Donald Trump and Elon Musk. And now, poor Elon. Elon has opened up Twitter to a racist, bigotry, fascist, neo-Nazi loving website of people being able to say whatever they want to without any kind of repercussions. This is what Elon Musk has done. I'm really surprised that anybody would even support this idiot for that, but Elon Musk has really ruined Twitter, and he's going to ruin it even worse than that. It's coming. But it's getting worse. It really is getting worse. And if you don't believe me, I mean, he supports, well, him and U West went off. Do you remember U West went off on this whole situation and started talking about stupid shit? Well, U West, I know I played this the other night, but, you know, U West was actually on Alex Jones, the big conspiracy show. Alex Jones, by the way, is one of the biggest conspiracy radio shows or podcasts ever to be made in America. It is the worst of all worst. And that's why Alex Jones is being sued for millions of dollars from Sandy Hook victims because of his lies and misconceptions. And so he's paying the price for his mouth. But he had U West on there, and U West kind of jumped off the gun. And believe it or not, but U West was actually starting to talk like a fucking...
I'm the head of the Mossad. I'm going to kill you and take the children away from you.
Every human being has something of value that they brought to the table, especially Hitler.
This is the future president you're talking to right now.
I love Jewish people, but I also love Nazis.
Germans had a really cool leader at one time. Love you, love you, love you. There's a lot of things that I love about Hitler.
Well, I think Hitler did target and kill some people. So I think, you know...
I think Obama killed Palestinians.
This is a new look for you.
Oh, no, I've been wearing a mask for a while.
Ah.
Yeah. Hey, guys, could you not talk in the back? I'm, like, really hypersensitive to sound. If you guys want to talk, just go in the other room, please.
Shut the hell up. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, shut up. Shut up. I'm throwing the tablets right now. Shut up. Instagram is about prostitution, so everyone shut up. No one cares. Shut up. No one cares. Jesus is king. Shut up. It's done. Everybody shut up. Everybody shut up. Go home to your scared little bins and your scared little town home and your scared little movie contracts and shut up. Don't talk to me about nothing, bro.
What do you think?
There's one place in the Bible where it says God sees sin differently, and there's another place where it says, you know, let me get out my phone. I can, like, really pull up the exact thing it says in the Bible.
No, I agree with what you just said. Let me stop you. Because Dave Chappelle.
Alex.
Go ahead.
Let me channel.
All right, go ahead.
Channel. If I say, now I forgot what I had to say. Let me meditate. Let me get into a place.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Love you, brother. Jesus is king. I love Hitler. Anybody who looks at pornography is a form of a pedophile also.
God does view sin differently, and that he proscribed a different punishment. But hey, guess what, Elon? I got a Twitter, and today I'm going to have Nick and Alex tweet from my account. You like that, Ari Emanuel?
I'm all about free speech.
A Christian can stand next to anyone. We can go visit R. Kelly in prison. We can go talk to Harvey Weinstein.
That's what Jesus did.
Yes.
You're not Hitler. You're not a Nazi. You don't deserve to be called that and demonized.
Well, I see good things about Hitler also. This guy that invented highways, invented the very microphone that I use as a musician. You can't say out loud that this person ever did anything good, and I'm done with that. Every human being has something of value that they brought to the table, especially Hitler. Hitler was born Christian.
And the Nazis, in my view, were thugs that shook people down, did a lot of really bad things.
But they did good things, too. We're going to stop dissing the Nazis all the time. The Jewish media has made us feel like the Nazis and Hitler have never offered anything of value to the world. Also, it's like there's Jewish people that are basically hiding me under their floorboards right now, under their wooden floors. It's like a reverse version of the Holocaust. George Soros can come to Christ. It is a possibility that he can convert and come to Christ.
You got a little bit of the Hitler fetish going on.
It's not a fetish. They call me anti-Semite. They said I'm a nigga in rap. They said I'm black. They told me, say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. Okay, James Brown, you tell me who I am. This is the future president you're talking to right now.
I'm not defending him. I'm saying, isn't it good to try to get Middle East peace?
Let's ask Nick.
Yeah, Nick, go ahead.
I got to watch my accounts because they've been frozen by Jewish banks.
I get the frozen.
I don't like the word evil next to Nazis. I think we need to look at, I love Jewish people, but I also love Nazis.
It gets to the nature of Judaism, which is the fact that Jews do not believe that Christ was the Son of God. And in fact, they're the only group that hate Jesus.
Every form of pornography is only one, is only 10 years away from pedophilia. Everyone is so outraged and focused on Balenciaga, but then we're still aborting our kids. We're still fornicating. Germans had a really cool leader at one time.
What do you think about the Ukraine war? What do you think about the devaluation of dollar? What do you think about FTX and Bitcoin? I mean, there's so many topics.
Nick?
You say you're going to run for president 2024.
I'm not, you know, Alex, you're really good at stating things in a way that gets you sued. Alex, love you, love you, love you.
If you're upset with what Kanye West has said today,
it's yay,
let me remind
sir.
You that Kanye
I
West,
yay.
Excuse me, yay.
Yeah.
Let me correct that. Yay.
I do love Hitler. I do love the Zionists. I love everyone. The Zionists cannot tell me who I can love and not love.
People need to take that for what it is. I wouldn't call you autistic. You are have a savantish thing about you, and I think that's a positive, not a negative. Nick, you want to say anything? I hope.
No, we're going to pray. No hoping. We pray.
I pray Elon is for real.
No, pray to God, not to Elon.
I pray
to Jesus Christ.
What else do you want to tweet out to folks? Because everything right now is going super, mega, total viral. What is your message to Trump right now? What's your message to DeSantis right now?
I don't know who DeSantis is. I never heard of the guy. There's a lot of good Nazis that were just fighting for their country. For them all to get put in a box.
By the way, you can pick up a butt plug or a dildo at Target. By the way, you can pick up a butt plug or a dildo at Target and CVS nowadays. By the way, you can pick up a butt plug or a dildo at Target and CVS nowadays. By the way, you can pick up a butt plug or a dildo at Target and CVS nowadays.
Now, I don't know exactly what everybody thinks, but Marjorie Taylor Greene and her butt plug theories are very interesting. I don't know how anybody could actually possibly think that Marjorie Taylor Greene's butt plugs are, it's okay that she talks about this shit. But to come out and talk about butt plugs and to say, you know, that butt plugs are sold at Walmart and, you know, so forth, is really interesting that she would say something like this. Marjorie Taylor Greene and butt plugs. Did anybody ever think that maybe she might have some screws loose? And why is she representing the Republican Party? People, I mean, she even went as far as to say that she should have, or if her and Steve Bannon would have done January 6th in order to basically incite it and help them, that if they were in charge of it, they would have won. And this is what she's saying. She's saying that it was really good that they actually did this. And because of them doing what they did, that it was a great thing that if she would have done it, she would have won. That there would have been more damage. People would have died more. And here this woman is saying this at a neo-Nazi party, basically, with white nationalists who are what? These motherfuckers are white supremacists. White nationalists are no different than the Nazi party. And
by the way, you can pick up a butt plug or a dildo at Target and CVS nowadays.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
By the way, you can pick up a butt plug or a dildo at Target and CVS nowadays.
That's Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about that. She is a congresswoman who is talking about butt plugs and talking about that the January 6th should have been handled a better way and that she would have won. I am really concerned about stuff like this. I mean, if you are a Republican and you support this stuff, then there is definitely something wrong with you. And if you are not, you know, denouncing that she is an idiot or saying she shouldn't be part of the Republican Party, then there's something wrong with you. And you've lost all integrity over this country. But this is a woman, like they said in that article, that she's going to swear in on January 3rd to protect the Constitution of the United States. And even though she's swearing to protect the Constitution of the United States, what is she doing? Is she protecting the Constitution of the United States? No. No, she's not. She's doing way worse than that. She is talking about destroying America. It's terrible. It really is terrible. And it makes me realize how screwed up the Republican Party truly is. All right, so we're going to take a real quick break. When we come back from the break, we'll talk more. We're going to get into Hunter Biden's laptop computer. I mean, not physically. We're not going to get into the laptop computer, but we are going to talk about it. We're going to talk about how the Republicans are so gung-ho about going after Hunter Biden. And then, you know, they're trying to look for a criminal reasoning to impeach Joe Biden, but they're not going to find anything because they've already looked at this through the government itself that was sworn in and put in place by Donald Trump himself. So we'll be right back.
You've given me the world with all your love, so I got you something special just because I found a gift that's perfect. You're more than worth it. It's everything that you've been dreaming of. Oh, this is my love language, so I'll go ahead and say it, 'cause you're the gift that keeps on giving, and you deserve it all. You deserve it all. You know you've been good all year. Come over here and let me show you. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. I show you it's more than you'll ever need. It's all good with me. You deserve it all. You give of yourself so unselfishly, so I wanna give you all the finest things I've found. A gift that's perfect. You're more than worth it. It's everything that you've been dreaming of. So treat yourself to something nice. The luxury, the life, 'cause you're the gift that keeps on giving. You deserve it all.
Made it a Christmas tradition to perform her.
It's Christmas. Baby, please come home.
In the words of that great philosopher Q-Tip, I really can't say I guess I laugh to keep from crying. Yeah. There's a new lie emerging from COVID-19 conspiracy theorists of late. Athletes are dying after getting the vaccine. Former NBA great John Stockton drew national attention late last month when he insisted in an interview that, quote, there's 150, I believe now, it's over 100 professional athletes dead, professional athletes, the prime of their life, dropping dead that are vaccinated right on the pitch, right on the field, right on the court, end quote. Okay. Wisconsin Senator and Republican Ron Johnson, never one to let a good fact-free conspiracy go unmentioned, got in on the action too. In an interview with Charlie Kirk, the head of the conservative group Turning Point USA, Ron John said this, quote, we've heard story after story, I mean all these athletes dropping dead on the field, but we're supposed to ignore that. Nothing happening here, nothing to see, this is a travesty, this is a scandal, end quote. Is it? Really? Where, you might ask, is the evidence for all these athletes dropping dead on the field? Well, I put that question to Johnson's Senate office. Quote, the senator has been pressing for transparency in government, especially in our federal health agencies, so that the American people have as much information as possible before they make healthcare decisions for themselves and their families. That's what a spokeswoman told me, which doesn't even come close to answering the question I asked. Right? Right. Well, the reason you haven't heard about this scandal of dead athletes is because it's not a scandal. It's just not really happening at all. The rumor appears to have started on the right-wing misinformation trail. For instance, the pro-Trump website Gateway Pundit published an article on December 6th with this headline, quote, report shows nearly 300 athletes worldwide collapsed or suffered cardiac arrest after taking COVID vaccine this year. Many died. The report on which the Gateway Pundit piece is based comes from a website called Good Sciencing, an anonymously run site that is larded with anti-vaccine pseudoscience. Quote, we are a small team of investigators, news editors, journalists, and truth seekers, now backed up by others, who are discovering pieces of information that we can investigate, reads the website's about page. It adds, it doesn't really matter who we are, end quote. Okay. All right, let's move on. Sourcing aside, it's worth looking at the claims these sorts of websites make, which factcheck.org did and found this. Quote, more than 300 athletes, including students, professionals, amateurs, and retirees from around the world were included. We reviewed publicly available information for each of the 19 professional athletes who either came from or played in the U.S. We found no proof of a causal relationship in any of the cases between the vaccines and the injuries or deaths. And then there was also this from factcheck.org. Quote, although Good Sciencing claims COVID-19 vaccines were to blame for the deaths or injuries, the website provides no evidence in most cases, 16 of the 19, that the athletes and former athletes were even vaccinated, end quote. What's happening here is a complete lack of statistical connection. Take the case of baseball legend Hank Aaron. Aaron died 2 weeks after receiving his first dose of the Moderna vaccine. But according to the Fulton County Medical Examiner, Aaron, who was 86 years old, died of natural causes. Another commonly cited episode by these vaccine conspiracy theorists is the collapse on the field of Denmark's Christian Eriksen last year during a major European soccer tournament. Immediately after that incident, social media absolutely lit up with claims that Eriksen's collapse was tied to the COVID-19 vaccine. Only problem? Eriksen hadn't been vaccinated when he collapsed. Eriksen, by the way, suffered a cardiac arrest on the field, but has since recovered. And what's most remarkable to me about these sorts of claims is how
Well, a film called Died Suddenly premiered last night on Twitter and claimed to, quote, present the truth about the greatest ongoing mass genocide in human history.
And lo and behold, here's a whole listing of people, of articles, of people within that last week who died suddenly. Older people, but a lot of younger people throughout, around the world.
And then you find out they were vaccinated.
So the movie, which was largely about anti-vaccine conspiracy theories, shows headlines and stories of people dying suddenly, but never really provides much concrete scientific evidence linking COVID-19 vaccines to all of these sudden deaths. To joining us now to talk about the harm widespread misinformation like this can cause, especially in healthcare, is Dr. Amit Arya. Dr. Arya, this film spends much of its runtime suggesting that many people have been dying suddenly after getting COVID-19 vaccines. Is this true?
Yeah, so absolutely not. We know that the vaccine remains an incredibly effective tool to protecting people against COVID-19, especially to protect people from the chances of hospitalization and from dying from COVID-19. In its first year alone, actually, the COVID-19 vaccine has been estimated to have saved 20 million lives just in the first year of the pandemic. And of course, I will emphasize here, vaccines are not a perfect solution, but they are part of the solution at this phase of the pandemic to keeping us all safe and protecting our healthcare system. But sudden deaths did happen, tragically, of course, even before COVID-19. But basically the evidence we have right now shows us that it's not the vaccine, it's COVID and the complications of COVID that increase the risk of sudden death.
Now, the film premiered on Twitter, and we know that since taking over the company, new CEO Elon Musk has fired the people in charge of content moderation. So when misinformation like this is allowed to spread widely and unchecked, how can that cause harm in the healthcare sector?
Well, as someone who's worked on the front lines of the healthcare crisis and, on the front lines of the pandemic in hospitals and in long-term care homes, I've sadly seen the impact of that misinformation firsthand. I've seen situations where, someone would not allow their loved one who lived in long-term care, where, very, very vulnerable people live, they would not allow their loved one to get vaccinated because they were so worried and scared about the impact of the vaccine, rather than being actually scared about the impact of COVID-19. But it's very, very sad to see, because many of these deaths were preventable. And I wish our government did a lot at this phase of the pandemic to fix the messaging around where we're at, what people need to do, and also to combat misinformation.
And Dr. Arya, how do you suggest people do their own research if they are concerned or want to know more before getting any vaccine?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I definitely have some tips around that. Firstly, I wanted to just reemphasize that I think, part of the reason that we're seeing so much misinformation spread is, of course, because of social media, but also because there is a complete void of science-based, accurate information being provided by the government. And in fact, I would actually say that the entire pandemic has been a science communications failure. I simply don't understand why governments, whether it's municipal, provincial, or federal, did not invest a lot more money into sort of, once again, a positive, culturally safe, language-specific, science-based communication strategy, and also, what our risks are. I also feel that at this point in time, people have been told to do their own individual risk assessment, but, simply put, they don't know how to do that, and that information hasn't been provided. So number one, what can you do if you're worried about this and you want to know about proper information? Of course, you should speak to your, you should speak to your physician or your nurse practitioner, your primary care provider. I do think that there are government resources which you can look up to find out about accurate information around the pandemic. Unambiguous science, you can Google up unambiguous science, which is a sort of a science communications project around many common questions that people have around vaccines.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Arya.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
And you are on the platform. Thank you for being with us. And we are sharing interesting, controversial, sometimes difficult views, and talking about the issues, the zeitgeist of the day and the things affecting us. Well, as you know, I have a love-hate relationship with the anti-vax community. They love to hate me, and I just love them back. And we have had some quite interesting exchanges on Twitter and indeed on the radio. I think you would have listened to Angry Andrea this week. Yesterday we had Angela, who told us she had caught COVID from the COVID vaccine, and then she provided her medical records, which said quite the opposite, and that she had some mild side effects from the vaccine. But if I have been sent it once, I have been sent it 400 times, a documentary which the anti-vax nutters are now using as their new, tablet of stone. It's called Died Suddenly. And it features, in a very small part, the New Zealand, unregistered New Zealand undertaker, Brenton Faithful, who has, I understand, been touring the country with a bunch of clots trying to convince you all there's some massive conspiracy going on. So many people sent me the died suddenly and told me to do my research that I pointedly didn't watch it. I sort of skipped through it and I saw the first 5 minutes, and that just told me instinctually all I needed to know about this piece of so-called journalism by some shock jock in America. But I then read online what I thought were some very worthy and far more thoughtful critiques of Died Suddenly and the sort of propaganda it represents. So I thought the best thing we could do is get the authors of one of those pieces, which I considered the best, who takes apart Died Suddenly, and I think explains in pretty straightforward terms why you mustn't believe this stuff. You can share it if you want, you can watch it if you want, but believing it and believing what it says is another thing entirely. So joining us from McGill University, where he is a science communicator, is Jonathan Jarry. Jonathan, welcome to the platform. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation.
Okay, just because I know I've already had people in the announcing that you're coming on, people have said just the following things, and I want to get them out the way. McGill University is funded by Bill and Melinda Gates, so you are part of some grand conspiracy. Is that right?
I've heard that one, yes, indeed.
Okay, do they provide...
It's not true, but I have heard this argument.
It's not true.
So what happens is that people don't understand that we have a ton of researchers on campus,
yeah,
and these researchers will apply for grants. And some researchers somewhere on campus got a grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And I suspect that people think that that means that men in black parachute onto campus, knock on every door, and hand everybody talking points. That's not how funding works.
All right, and it's not. In fact, I'm sorry, we have to go through it because I know that I'm going to get an avalanche of texts and emails on this. What is a science communicator? What are your qualifications? Tell us a bit about yourself.
So I have a bachelor's degree in biochemistry. I have a master's degree in molecular biology. I've worked in cancer research, cancer diagnostics, in forensic biology, and in low vision rehabilitation research. I started to do science communication on the side as a hobby for many years, and now this is what I do for a living. I've been doing it for something like 5 years, four to five years. At McGill University, we have a very unique office, which is called the Office for Science and Society. We're not part of the PR arm of the university, so not public relations. What we do is we answer the public's questions that they have about science. We try to make sense of science, and we try to separate also sense from nonsense, because as you know, there's a lot of nonsense out there.
Ooh, is there ever? All right, let's deal with the documentary now. Died Suddenly. Apparently was going to answer all our questions, explain the great conspiracy. And it is based, at the very start of COVID, it was all that Pfizer had the biggest lawsuit in history against them, which of course wasn't true. But right now, things seem to have pivoted to there are a whole lot of people dying after having the vaccine. And given that in our country, 95% of the adult population is vaccinated and some of them are going to die, that is going to happen. But they're dying. And undertakers, funeral home directors, are finding strange rubbery blood clots. And this all goes to prove that it's part of a conspiracy to depopulate the world through a dangerous vaccine. That's fundamentally what the movie says, isn't it?
Basically, yes. And it paints this on a canvas that is so large. It's a spiritual battle between the forces of good and evil. So it's no longer just about opposing the pharmaceutical industry now. It really is about these are evil satanic forces and we are the army of light that needs to stand up to them.
All right. In the movie, I understand there are a number of people who supposedly have collapsed and died after having the vaccine. You have done an analysis of this, I understand.
Yeah. So this document, we're gonna call it a documentary, but yeah, there's always air quotes around this word. It shows there's a montage there that is very, very emotionally impactful, where we see a bunch of people, usually captured on these security camera footage, just falling to the ground, and it is inferred that they have died, and it is inferred that they have died from the vaccine. And different people have managed to sort of track down where these videos come from. And it turns out that a lot of these people are not even dead. Some of them had fainting episodes, so often what is called syncope. So they have a drop in blood pressure,
sure,
and all
yeah
of a sudden they faint. And if if they're standing up, you know, so this is going to happen to one in five of us over our lifetime. So it's a very, very common occurrence. And because there are cameras everywhere now, you're going to capture a lot of fainting episodes. There are people having seizures on camera, which is, again, something that happens naturally. And some of these clips that are being shown in the movie, they predate the COVID vaccine, sometimes even predate COVID itself. But they are used to make us think that, look at all these people just dropping dead and nobody is noticing. And this is just, it's a lie. Like, these videos are not, there's one particular example where there's a young basketball player who faints on the court. And again, it is implied that he has died of the vaccine. This was tracked down, and this particular athlete had a fainting episode on the court in December 2020, early December 2020, before the vaccines were rolled out. And he is just fine. I mean, he just signed on with another team. Like, he's very much alive. So these are just lies.
Okay. The other issue is the rubbery blood clots. And we've got our own purveyor of lies about this, a guy called Brenton Faithfull in New Zealand, and he is, I think, makes a short appearance in the documentary. This seems to be a global phenomenon. Truth-speaking, independent undertakers who are seeing things that the mainstream doctors are either suppressing or just missing. Have you had a look into that?
Yeah, this is interesting because there's a lot of footage of these clots, and it is meant to be repugnant and revulsive. It really is all about this emotional response. But people who are in the business, I'm not an embalmer, but there are embalmers who have looked at this movie and said, no, these are perfectly normal. I mean, first of all, there are clots that happen before we die. So some people, unfortunately, die of a clot. This does happen. And then there are clots that happen after death, postmortem clots. And a lot of what we see in this movie seem to be, according to these embalmers, these postmortem clots. And they happen, and the reason why there might be a spike in their numbers, and we don't know because there's no database tracking these things. The reason might be because of COVID, there was such a surge in people dying of COVID at the beginning of the pandemic that bodies were lined up in embalmer's offices, and they had to be refrigerated for a long time.
And that causes
clots. Contributes.
Yeah.
And that contributes to these clots, that the blood starts to coagulate and the solid, the cells and the platelets, they start to go out of the liquid phase, and it creates these clots.
Yeah.
And for anybody who is really genuinely interested, who is open-minded and wants to learn more about these clots, there's a fantastic article that was published on Science-Based Medicine, I believe it was a week ago, by Benjamin Schmidt, who is an embalmer and who takes us through the kinds of clots that you see as an embalmer. It's extremely well done. But this is exactly what I find particularly ironic, because a lot of people in the anti-vaccine movement will tell you, do your own research. But the thing is that when you do your own research and you speak to actual experts, this is where the claims made by Died Suddenly, they fall apart, because they are not factual. They're just lies with an emotional valence, and they're meant to disgust you, and they're meant to frighten you.
Yeah, it is a fear. It really is playing with the fear. Well, look, interestingly enough, I interviewed Brenton Faithfull, and he probably didn't get the interview that he thought he would. And he began by telling me a story about embalming the body of a perfectly healthy New Zealander who had died 2 weeks after having the vax, and really his family were quite concerned and everything. And he went on and told the story, and I said, he finished. And then I simply asked him the question, how old was this person? 92.
Yeah.
And from that point on, I knew that this was a deliberate deception. And I wonder, look, what I loved about your article was, you do point out that this is about, in a time of fear and uncertainty, appealing to people's emotions, making them feel uncertain, and giving them this beautifully wrapped up in a bow conspiracy theory that explains why they're right, and they are lucky enough to be one of the few who have the answers to the mysteries and problems of the universe. And you also said it's not good enough to call these people nutters. And I've got to say, as someone who's been involved in media a long time, I have got to the point where I'm just bloody angry back at them for their stupidity. And I'll have to admit, my rhetoric and I guess my tone has become more aggressive. I like the way in your article you suggested that despite the human emotion that gets me there, that's not the answer here to get rid of these lies.
What I, Yeah, what I often like to remind people of is that, yes, there are people who are anti-vaccine. They are, I mean, we have seen some COVID-19 specific anti-vaxxers during the pandemic, so people who do not want the COVID vaccine. They think that it is, you know, killing people, but they're fine with the other vaccines. And then you have the more general anti-vaxxers who refuse all vaccines. Those are the very vocal people. Those are the ones that really get our blood boiling. But there's a section of the population that is vaccine hesitant. Mm. And those are people who are on the fence. And traditionally, these are people who they might delay getting a vaccine for themselves or for their kids. They might choose to get this vaccine, but not that vaccine for one reason or another. Mm. And so they have this hesitancy around vaccines, and they can be swayed by the scary propaganda of the anti-vaccine movement, which is very, very well funded. But they
I want to stop you there. And these claims have been made in New Zealand, and I've looked for the money and I can't find it. Who's funding this? And do we have proof of who is funding this movement?
I mean, if you look at the disinformation that is being spread about vaccines online, and I'm familiar mostly with the American situation.
Yeah.
But now, because of social media, this spreads all over the world. Yeah. I mean, you look at somebody like Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Oh, yeah.
You look at somebody like Joe Mercola. I mean, Joe Mercola is worth $100 million American dollars. He is probably the most... the richest doctor worldwide, and he has been, you know, selling all kinds of supplements over the years, and he is very, very anti-vaccine and writes a lot of articles about this kind of stuff. So you have these major players who have built these empires of disinformation around vaccines, and this information trickles down on social media until you get this from your aunt or your brother.
Yeah. Okay. So you're saying those people are funding it. But they're funding it by killing and send a donation.
So there's a very rich industry of anti-vaccine propaganda. And I don't know where the money for Diet Suddenly came from. I'm not making any inference.
But that's some shock in the States, Sean, someone, isn't it?
Who are you referring to?
The guy who made the Diet Suddenly or funded the Diet Suddenly.
So there are two directors whose names I forget. There are producers. There's Stu Peters.
Stu Peters, that's the guy. So he runs an alt news site with someone called Dr. Ruby making all sorts of wild claims. And he's clearly doing very well out of this.
I mean, I watched a clip of his because they were referencing the fact that Canadian physicians, I thought, okay, this is in my wheelhouse, Canada, okay, what's happening there? Canadian physicians are just dropping dead because of the COVID vaccines. And he had somebody on his show saying, oh, yes, and they're in the prime of their lives. And so I went so they looked at the Canadian Medical Association's in memoriam section. That was their piece of evidence. And I looked at the doctors who had died just prior to the recording of
dropping like flies.
Dropping like flies, and the average age was 82 years old. So prime of their life, not really.
Which seems to be a theme, but if you overlook the age of a dead person, you can make all sorts of claims change the narrative incredibly, which is why we've got to keep asking those questions. Are you aware at all of the case that is literally happening in New Zealand about vaccinated blood for a baby's operation?
I'm not aware of this particular case, but this is something that I have seen in the news, and it's not new. I mean, we've seen this a lot during the pandemic, and this started with this erroneous claim that vaccinated people were shedding the virus, right? That we were shedding the spike protein, and so you had, you have references to pure bloods, who have not been vaccinated against COVID. You're seeing this on certain dating apps as well. I'm looking for somebody who has not been vaccinated because I don't want to get contaminated.
You're kidding me.
Protein.
I didn't realize. I don't do dating apps.
I'm not kidding
you.
So
I don't know.
Yes. But now it has ramifications for people who need
Well, look, I think it'd be worth you looking at. So we've had a case with a four-month-old baby with a serious heart condition who had previously had a blood transfusion through the National Blood Service. They're getting public, unlike the United States, they're getting their operation. The open heart surgery for the baby is provided by the generous taxpayer in New Zealand. But the parents were captured essentially by two of the biggest anti-vaxxers in New Zealand in their group. And they said, oh, we're not going to let our baby go and have the open heart surgery that it needs right now unless we can provide blood from unvaccinated donors. So our ministry, well, the doctors said no. this kid needs the thing. Now, they were last night granted the doctor's custody of the child till January the 31st, so they can provide the open heart surgery with blood that has been properly processed by the New Zealand Blood Service, and the anti-vaxxers are going spare this morning in New Zealand. You know, and I think that is the point where you might laugh at this disinformation. You might think it's a bit of a chuckle that people are that delusional, but in an instance like that, that is literally could cost someone's life.
Yeah, yeah. We often forget the harm that comes with anti-vaccine sentiment. And of course, I'm very much pro safe vaccines, and we need to make sure those any medical intervention is safe. I mean, it's never 100% safe. There are always risks and benefits, but we have to know what they are to make an informed decision. But yes, there are real harms to all this anti-vaccine propaganda.
Yeah. Would it also be fair to say, though, to balance this, that the vaccines were developed incredibly quickly, without the normal clinical trials that would guarantee a higher level of safety, and there is the possibility that there may be side effects from these vaccines which aren't so hot?
So let me address this. It is not true that trials were not done that should have been done. What happened is that the vaccines were expedited. They were not rushed. The same way that when you pay extra at the post office, you can get your letter to be prioritized. What happens when you're running these big trials is that there's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of committees meeting to evaluate your proposal before, you know, giving it the stamp of approval. And this was compressed because it was such a priority, because we decided that COVID was so bad that we really needed to expedite those trials to the point where the next phase of a trial might start getting prepared before the last phase was done, which is a financial risk, because if the results in the first phase don't pan out, then you've wasted all this time and energy preparing for the next phase, which is why we don't do this normally. But it was being done here because there was such a rush, and so it was expedited. It was not. Now, to your point about rare side effects, this is something that really bugs me, which is that one of the arguments that we often hear from people who are anti-vaccine is that, how do we know that these vaccines are safe? How do we know that 10 years down the road or 20 years down the road something won't happen? And the problem here is that we would never develop any new medical intervention if that was our thinking. If we had to wait, if we had to take this group of people, we're going to follow them for 30 years to see what's going to happen just in case something happens over that period. And then we're going to withhold the treatment from people now because we don't know. In the history of vaccine development, whenever something goes wrong, it is almost instantaneous or it is within a few weeks after the injection. And so those types of side effects, they were detected in the clinical trials. When it is a rare side effect, it is detected after the vaccine or whatever intervention is available, and that's part of post-market surveillance. And that is exactly how, for example, the very, very rare risk of blood clots from the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, that's how this was detected, because we do have a good system of vigilance once those vaccines are out there that we can detect these extremely rare events.
Would you, and I guess, once again, as someone who follows this as a layperson, it did seem to me that there was an unexpectedly high number of instances of myocarditis as a side effect in young men that emerged as the Pfizer vaccine was rolled out.
So myocarditis, I've referred to it as the boogie word of the pandemic. So it's not a boogeyman, but it is a boogie word, in that it's this thing that a lot of people had never heard of before, and they suddenly started focusing on this particular thing as the thing to worry about. And the thing is that you are much more likely to get myocarditis from COVID-19 than you are from any of the vaccines.
Right.
But the people who are COVID minimalists or denialists or anti-vaxxers, they have really zeroed in. It has become a talking point of the people that spread misinformation about the pandemic, is that look at this thing that you probably don't want. Well, it is being caused by the vaccines. And that is a thing that we see throughout the pandemic, is that whatever COVID-19 is causing is now being attributed to the vaccines. And we see this in Died Suddenly as well. A lot of the, you see a spike in sort of stillbirths that they show at some point. But that spike is for the year 2020.
All right, so there you have it. Oh, my God. Yeah, that Die Suddenly movie is terrible, man. It's terrible news, dude. Every time I think about that movie, Die Suddenly, I think about, you know, some of the crazy shit that they have out there. And I got to be honest with you, man. It's a film that's not, it's really not a good film as far as information's concerned. There's a lot of fake, comments. These people are not scientists. They're not doctors. These are people, I feel like, that have done some kind of investigation on their own that is not relevant to COVID-19 vaccines. They only insinuate what they believe. That's not a true factual study, in other words. But when you pull out morticianers and people who are anti-vaxxers and so forth that want to talk negative about everything, that's what they do. You know, that's what they're going to say. And by the way, it's not really uncommon for blood clots to be in somebody who died is a result of death, because the longer that somebody's been in refrigeration, by the way, the blood starts to clot, and they don't ever think about that part. The people that they claim that died in the movie are still alive, and the ones who passed out, majority of them were not even vaccinated, or they did pass out, it was before COVID-19 vaccines were even introduced. So that's the part that kind of concerns me about this whole fucking issue. If you watch the movie, I'm telling you, you better be ready to fact check every single part of it, because it's all false. It's a conspiracy video. That's what it's made to do, is to hype you up to believe that there's something going on. And when they play the goofy music along with showing you pictures of blood clots like over and over, they're trying to hypnotize you into believing that's what they want you to see. And then they want to tie it to the vaccine, which is not even it's statistically possible. It wasn't even done. They have never, ever linked it to COVID-19 and heart attacks or these blood clots, for example. But that's what the Republicans want you to believe. That's what the anti-vaxxers want you to believe. The more that they can do this, the more that they can try to scare you into believing something is happening with these vaccines. I mean, that's what the purpose is. The purpose is to scare the shit out of you to believe that the end of the world's coming, right? That's what they want you to believe. Oh, my God, you're going to get the vaccine. You're going to die of a heart attack. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know. But it's not true, man. It's not true at all. So I am just going to just say this. I'm looking something up real quick about this, because I think that it's very interesting that a lot of people have claimed this. I get a lot of this, is by the way, on the show, where people will say, oh my God, oh no, people are dying of a heart attack from it, and it's good. It's just proven. It's a proven thing. It's proven. Oh my God, it's proven. All right, man, nothing has proven that there's a heart attack happening here, man. I'm sorry. But then again, what do you expect from the Republican Party, who are all about lies and misinformation anyway, right? Because that's what they do. They have always been about lies and misinformation and trying to scare the shit out of people. And they do a great job at it, as a matter of fact. I mean, it's perfect. It's a perfect scam for the Republicans. So the next scam that they want to do, and I'm going to talk about that right now. I told you we'd talk about it. So let's get into it. Hunter Biden's computer. So everybody out there on the Republican side want to investigate Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. As you know, you have already heard it repeatedly said by Marjorie Taylor Greene, and you've heard by Jim Jordan, Ted Cruz, all of them saying, we are going to investigate Joe Biden. Blah, blah, blah. We're going after Hunter Biden and his laptop computer. Okay, so what they're going to tell you is this. So what they're saying to you, and I want you to understand that they're saying to you, to the American people, that you elected us to basically help the economy, help inflation, help this, help that, as we promised, but we don't give a shit about that. All we care about is investigating Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. And it's all because they're upset and they're pissed because they're upset about Donald Trump being impeached by the Democrats. And you know what? I don't blame them. They should be pissed because it happened. And yeah, they should be pissed off because that's what happens when you get impeached. It's going to make you mad. Person that you love so much gets impeached. Of course, it's going to make you feel a little out of sorts and out of ease and saying, oh, I'm pissed off at them. This is what they do. This is what the Republicans do. This is what they want you to do. They want you to believe to do something for America and then turn around and fuck you by taking up time for taxpayers' money to investigate Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. That's what they want to do. However, they do want to try to get rid of Social Security. That's one of their big plans, is to eliminate Social Security. Because that is something that they have been working on for a long time. The truth of the matter is, even if they introduce this bill to overturn Social Security and shut down the government, what's going to happen is that the Democrats, thank you God, that in the Senate, they're going to block it because they're not going to allow the Republicans to do anything stupid. And I am so happy that we have Democrats running the Senate to put an end to the Republican nightmares, because this is what it's all going to become. It's going to be a Republican nightmare of lies and misconceptions, and this is what they're going to do. They're going to try to eliminate people, right? They're going to try to eliminate this whole situation. They're not even going to give you any kind of help. All the stuff that they said they're going to do, they're not going to do. As a matter of fact, here's something that's really interesting. You remember when they said, oh, we love our veterans? Oh, my God, our veterans are the best thing since everything. We will always put our veterans first. Put our veterans first. That's what they always said. And what did they do? They voted against a bill that would have helped our veterans with better coverage, health coverage, health care coverage, and would have helped them financially as well. But they voted against that. They said, no, we're not going to help out the veterans. Even though we support them, we're not going to help them. And then there was the issue of people who have diabetes, right? People who are diabetics. You go out there and you look, there is millions of diabetics out here. You know, I'm a diabetic. I ain't going to lie to you. But you have diabetics who are on insulin dependency. That means they take insulin every day. It is what keeps them alive and running and basically staying alive. So this medication, insulin, usually can run up to $1,000 a month, sometimes even more. And so what they introduced was a bill. The Democrats introduced a bill that said that they would actually like to see insulin go to $35. And so they introduced the bill, and the Republicans shot down that bill and said, no, we're not going to support diabetics getting $35 insulin. And you know what a couple of their responses were on the Republican side? One of the responses from one Republican who stated and said, I'm voting no on $35 insulin because diabetics are overweight and they can lose weight on themselves, and they can lower their insulin. The wake-up call to this is not everybody is type 2 diabetes. There are diabetics who are very skinny. There are children who are diabetics. Children, folks, that are diabetics. And they voted no to help these families. Now the families are out there thinking, how am I going to choose between food on my table for my children or fucking insulin to keep them alive? Do you understand how bad that is? But the Republicans voted against it. And then they even said, we love our police department. We love law enforcement. We don't want to defund the police. We love them so much. And then they started saying that the Democrats want to defund the police. But the thing is there was a bill that was introduced for the police departments to help police officers out, to give them better training, to give them more money, to actually help them. And guess what the Republicans did? They voted against it in the Senate. And they blocked it. So everything that they say they're out there to help you with, they are not out there to help them with. They're not out there to help the American people whatsoever. And now that they are embracing fascism, now that they're embracing this Nazi bullshit of white supremacy, is really terrible. It really is. And, you know, they got people like Yee West out there who loves Nazis, by the way, because he's even said it. I played it a little while ago. You know, you heard him saying, oh, yeah, we love Nazis. I love Nazis. Donald Trump embraces himself with these people. The Republicans are embracing themselves with these people. And then they want to go after Hunter Biden and his laptop computer. I mean, that's you know. Now, my thoughts are is this. I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to say it like this. If they were to find something on Hunter Biden that was actually legitimate, I would sit here right now and tell you that, yeah, he needs to be in trouble. If Joe Biden was a part of it, yeah, he should be in trouble. But if they don't find anything, which I don't think they will because they've already investigated it a long time ago, this was back in 2020 when Donald Trump was out there talking about, hey, Hunter Biden's laptop, blah, blah, blah. And that's when he tried to get even Ukraine, President Zelensky, to basically give him information. And then they were going to, because if he did, then they would, you know, he was going to hold off sanctions, is what Trump wanted to do. This is one of the things that got Donald Trump impeached, by the way. But Donald Trump and the Republicans wanted you to believe that there was some kind of conspiracy on Hunter Biden's laptop computer. So they investigated him. I mean, Donald Trump had his own people investigate Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, because Joe Biden was running for president at the time. When they investigated the both of them, they didn't find nothing. There was nothing to find on either one of them. They couldn't find any kind of collusion or corruption. They found zero, nothing. It was a waste of time. Again, waste of taxpayers' money. But now that the Republicans are going to be in the House in January, that's not enough for them, folks. Now they got to go back and try to investigate it one more time. And that's what their purpose is to try to push it even more. And so what you're going to see in this this fiasco is the Republicans throwing you out all these different lies and conspiracies. They're going to say, we got the perfect evidence. Here's the perfect evidence. And it was on Alex Jones' TV show, his podcast. Here it is. You know he's real. That's what they're going to make you believe. They're going to give you information that is false. That's what they do. And so they're going to tie up the American people's time, money, to do this. And, yeah, they want to get rid of Social Security. It's going to happen. They're going to try to go for it. It's going to get blocked. Thank you, Jesus, it's going to get blocked. But they're going to try to do it. And not only that they're going to try to block all this other shit that's in there, but they even want to go one step further. They ruled, they said, we want to shut down the government. We want to shut down the government, and we want to close it down immediately. Now, I want you to think about that. When they say, I want to shut down the government, this is something that they want to do to try to screw over the American people. That's what they're going to do. Unfortunately, once again, it will be blocked by the Senate. Thank God we have Democrats in the Senate, right? Because they will protect us from the Republican nightmares. So here's the thing, you know, if you have a question or comment, by the way, I forgot to tell everybody this, but if you have a question or comment, you are more than welcome to call. I'm going to open up the phone lines here in just a second. So if you want to call in, it's 515-605-9719. That's 515-605-9719 is the phone number. You know, if you want to add to this, that's fine. You know, we're talking about all kinds of different stuff here on the show today. That's what's amazing is that we have a lot of stuff to cover, and it's Republicans who keep us busy with it. And you know what? Somebody asked me the other day, they said, you know, why do you just go after the Republicans? You know, aren't the Democrats, you know, blah, 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 aren't they bad too? Well, I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to be upfront and honest with you. I know that even the Democrats are messed up. Not all the Democrats are on track, okay? And I want people to understand that. If I was to sit here and say, well, you know, the Democrats are the best since sliced bread, they're the best, they're better than Republicans, all I can tell you is this. I used to be a Republican, so I believe in the original Republican values, and I'm talking about the values of Abraham Lincoln, the real values of the Republican Party. This is what when the Republican Party was was like of George Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, you know, Ronald Reagan. These are the original values of the Republican Party. But when Donald Trump came into the picture, he really destroyed the Republican Party. And now that the Republican Party is poisoned and diseased of bigotry, hate, racism, you know, lies, misconceptions, all this different stuff, fascism, you know, that's what they are now. You know, I didn't want to be a part of that, so I left the Republican Party. I got out of it. I said, fuck that stuff. I'm not voting for another Republican until they get their shit straight. And then when I thought that there was at least some good Republicans still in Congress, and then a lot of them start to put their tail between the legs and cowered to Donald Trump. And they still cowered to Donald Trump, crying and being scared of Donald Trump because he's so scary. I mean, what the hell, folks? How the hell does somebody come up with that idea that they get so scared of Donald Trump? I mean, Donald Trump is a real chicken shit is what he is. Do you know, I mean, and that's what happened to the Republican Party. They started to get diseased. They started to fall apart. And now that they embrace bigotry and racism and hate and everything else, this is what the Republican Party has now become. You know, they're embracing. So, you know, like Marjorie, so let me back up a minute. So Donald Trump recently just had dinner with Nick Fuentes and Ye West, two of the biggest crazy fuckers right there. One's a white nationalist, who, by the way, white nationalists are fascists, and they are part of the neo-Nazi regime, basically. That's what they do. But they're part of the neo-Nazi regime. What they are is they are really kind of Looney Tunes in some aspects. But so Nick Fuentes, who is one of these white nationalists, he's proud to be a white nationalist. When they say white nationalist, you might as well say white supremacy, because that's what it is, white supremacy. And then you got U.S. talking about Nazis and how much he loves Nazis. I mean, these are the two biggest fascists. And so Donald Trump had dinner with them. He had a dinner party with these two idiots. And then just the other night, just when you thought it wasn't going to get any better than that, Marjorie Taylor Greene has dinner or goes to a party that is held by this Republican group that is a neo-Nazi group also led by Nick Fuentes. And, of course, you know, Donald Trump showed up, U.S. showed up. It was all about Nazism. And so what did they do? They started to boast about, you know, January 6th. They boasted about how much that they should have taken control of it. And, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene said if I would have had control of it, or if I was in charge, basically, that I would have won. I would have won, she said, using more arms to take people down. In other words, she was saying, I support that the police officers died that day. I support that police officers are killed in the line of duty protecting what they actually were supposed to do by protecting to serve and protect, and they were sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States. They were actually doing their job more than Marjorie Taylor Greene was doing that day. And now she come out that the other night and said that she supported it, that it should have, she would have won. She would have pushed for Donald Trump's people to attack even more. This is what she is, man. And you're talking about you guys support this stuff? How in the hell can an American support anybody that believes that what happened on January 6th was a good thing? I mean, that's just as bad as saying that what happened on 9/11 was a good thing. I mean, that's how sickening it is to sit there and try to assume that what happened on January 6th was a good thing and it could have been won if it was done another way. You know, I'm kind of concerned about Marjorie Taylor Greene because I think that she might be literally nuts. And even though that she wants to go out and spout that she wants to go after Hunter Biden and his fucking computer, it really makes me wonder, when do these people actually do anything for the American people? When are they doing anything for the American people? If Barack Obama was to attend a party like they did, and if Barack Obama came out and said the exact same thing that Marjorie Taylor Greene said, if he would have came out and said, well, if I would have handled January 6th better, we would have won. Or he would have said, you can get your butt plugs at Target. I mean, if he would have said that, think about that. How much hell would go break loose over something like that? I just want you to think about that for just a second. How many people would go nuts over something like that? Of course, all they ever did is went after Barack Obama over him wearing a tan suit. If you remember that, remember when he wore a tan suit and then they attacked Obama saying that, you know, he's wearing a tan suit. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, he's wearing a tan suit. They have nothing to go on, so they go after people for stupid shit. This is what this Republican Party is. It's a Republican Party that I will never go back to until they get their shit straightened out. Until you eliminate Donald Trump from being in the campaign, as soon as you eliminate Marjorie Taylor Greene, Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, Lady G, Lindsey Graham, get rid of him. Get rid of Shabbat. Get rid of Abbott. Shabbat and Abbott. Get rid of Ron DeSantis. That's another one, isn't it? Ron DeSantis. That's another kooky son of a bitch. But I'm really supporting Don. I'm gonna support Ron DeSantis. Only because he's running against Donald Trump. And I'm going to support Ron DeSantis because anti-Trump, and I like that. You know, after a point, you get tired of Donald Trump. After a certain point, you just say, I'm done with Donald Trump. After a certain point, you say you're done with a lot of the Republican Party. I mean, I did. But you know what's funny is if America can wake up and just think about this for a minute, just wake up and take a minute to do your own beliefs, clearly see the big picture of what the Republican Party is all about. You will clearly see the real reason why the Republicans want you to believe in them. And the real reason is not because they support you or they want to help you. The real reason is that they want you to believe their lies. So you remember that. I just want you to remember that. Remember what these people are doing. And like I said just a few minutes ago, I don't think the Democrats, by all means, are all peachy as well. Because they do have a lot of issues in their own party. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think that Joe Biden, to me, is the best president, you know, that everybody wants to, you know, they want to claim he's the best president. I don't think he's the best president. But when it came down to him or Donald Trump, I'm going to choose Joe Biden. I'm sorry. You know, people were saying that if Donald Trump was still president, we would be doing this, we wouldn't be in Russia, or Russia wouldn't be fighting over in Ukraine, blah, blah, blah. Russia never attacked Ukraine when Donald Trump was in office because they had control of Donald Trump. So they knew that they didn't have to go attack Ukraine because they could get whatever the hell they wanted anyway. But that's what they did. They knew how to control, you know, the whole situation. That's what they did. That's what Vladimir Putin did. He knew that Donald Trump was his puppet. Everybody knows that Donald Trump is his puppet. I mean, even Donald Trump himself knows he's his puppet. I mean, but that's what you have to realize is that the Republican Party loves Donald. I mean, they love Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the Republican Party right now. And like I said, until Donald Trump is removed from that issue of the Republican Party, I will never support the Republicans ever again until that's done. It's going to take a long time to clean up what Donald Trump has done as far as a mess. It's going to take a long time to clean up a mess that Marjorie Taylor Greene, Ted Cruz, and the rest of them committed. And I'm telling you right now that a lot of you people out there that don't believe me, and you're like, oh, fuck that, you know, you just don't like the Republicans. Well, you can say whatever you want to. I mean, you can call in and actually give me your input, and that's fine. But I'm telling you that, yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, the Democrats are by no means peachy or the best. They have a lot of issues. But when it comes down to Democrats versus Republicans, the Republicans have a lot more issues with them what the Democrats are doing. The Republicans are really, really sick. Really messed up. And when you have people going out and saying shit that they're not supposed to be saying and saying all these different, conspiracy theories, it just is not good. And ever since QAnon and Donald Trump, and by the way, it's funny that QAnon was so popular that Alex Jones would be actually preaching about this mess, that the Republicans picked up on it, and of course they started to really focus on it. It's truly a fucking mess. It really truly is a fucking mess from the Republican Party. I cannot believe Marjorie, and I can't believe I had to cover that all day long, this whole show about Marjorie Taylor Greene, because she's such a freaking idiot.
By the way, you can pick up a butt plug or a dildo at Target and CVS nowadays.
Would you say Marjorie Taylor Greene? Did you say butt plugs?
By the way, you can pick up a butt plug or a dildo at Target and CVS nowadays.
Oh, okay. So you can get your butt plugs and dildos in Target. All right. Well, there you go. Let's go back to the commercial. If you're looking for a good Christmas gift, all you have to do is click on Target and look up Marjorie Taylor Greene's butt plugs. Butt plugs for your anal ass. Your loved one will like it so much, they'll want more. So if you are an anal lover, go get you a butt plug at Target and ask for the Marjorie Taylor Greene Christmas Special, where you will receive one, not one, but two butt plugs for $10.99. And now we're going to throw in a dildo. The Marjorie Taylor Greene Special. Marjorie Taylor Greene dildos and butt plugs at a Target near you. Or go online and click Margie Taylor Greene's butt plugs, Green One, for your discount. All right, Margie Taylor Greene and her butt plugs. Such a beautiful thing, isn't it? Oh, my God. It's such a beautiful, beautiful, whole thing there, that I would even think that Marjorie Taylor Greene would ever be like that. I think that her talking about butt plugs is like the best thing that the Republicans have right now. If I was in the Republican Party, if I was even on like some kind of council or the Republican National Committee, I would be wanting to know what the hell is going on with Marjorie Taylor Greene. How much did she drink that night? Well, we know she's been drinking the orange Kool-Aid, but then again, she was at a neo-fascist party, so who the hell knows what she was doing? But to think that she was into this, kind of makes me wonder, what the fuck is this bitch's problem? I don't know, man. I really don't know. I have no clue. All I know is that Marjorie Taylor Greene is definitely an issue. I think that the Republicans support this shit. And I think they're going to make it even worse than before it gets better. That's what they're going to do. Butt plugs. Oh, my God. Marjorie.
By the way, you can pick up a butt plug or a dildo at Target and CVS nowadays.
Thank you, Margaret. I appreciate your butt plug theory and dildos. I think all of us think that that's just the greatest thing in the world. Thank you so much for that. And because of that, we're going to thank you for that. We actually had to put your advertisement out there. Maybe one time we'll even put more advertisements for you. Okay, so with that said, Hunter Biden's laptop computer, I'm going to finish up with that real quick. So I think they're going to find zero on that. I think there's not going to be one damn thing in the laptop computer. I don't think they're going to find one damn thing in the laptop computer. Now, if you don't think that I'm wrong on that, then I want you to really think about that. Do you think that Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to have more issues, or is it going to get better for her? That's the question. Do you think that the Republican Party is ever going to have sanity ever again? Do you think that the Republicans will ever become a true party of the GOP, of the real party, right? I'm just wondering that. I don't know. I'm just trying to let everybody know what you believe and so forth. And I just wish that everybody out there would really take this into consideration, that this stuff is really real stuff. I mean, the Republicans truly concern me. The Republicans truly, truly, truly concern me about everything that they do, and I just really wish that maybe the Republicans would just come back to reality. If they could come back to reality and be themselves again, I think that I would actually support them. But are they going to support themselves? They're not going to support anything. They don't give a shit. They never will give a shit. But eventually, it's going to be a lot different than what a lot of people think. Trust me. But that's what the Republican Party is all about. It's going to become a real, real shit show. And it's going to get really bad. I think that people need to realize that once the Republican Party, does fall apart, we're going to see, a lot more happening than what you can just possibly imagine. So I'm just wanting people to know, I just wanted you to be prepared for this information. Only because there's a really bad issues of this happening. And so I just want people to be prepared for probably the worst of all the worst things could ever happen. And that is that, you know, some people are really concerned about Republicans falling apart. But then again, I don't know what else is going to happen. I really don't. I really wish I could tell you guys that there's going to be something better for people, but there's not going to be something better for that because, you know, it's an issue, man. It really is an issue. I'm really concerned what's going to happen with this Republican Party. One day, maybe it'll get better, but until then, we have to just wait. I just wish that we didn't have to wait too long for the Republicans just to bow out. But unfortunately, it's going to take a little longer than that. All right, so I am done. So I am done for tonight. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show. As usual, you guys are awesome. I appreciate everybody who calls in, people who supports us. You know, it's because of you that we are we're actually number two on Blog Talk. So thank you for your awesome support. And join us again right here on Real. So our name's going to change. I'm going to tell you the name now. It's going to be Real Liberal Politics, and you can email us at reallliberalpolitics@gmail.com. that is the number, or that is the email to reach us. You can always email us if you have a question or comment. All right, everybody, I'm out of here. Have a good night.
Santa Baby, Madonna.
Santa Baby, slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa Baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa Baby, an outer space convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa Baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be oh so good if you'll check off my Christmas list.